Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
O'Reilly Auto Parts' new Brake Mess Select Pro brand raises the bar for the best aftermarket domestic brake pads and rotors available. For vehicle-specific friction formulations, Quiet Tech noise-canceling shims, and stainless steel hardware, choose Brake Mess Select Pro. Professional-grade brakes from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Well, we have some helpful commentary about pogo sticks, and then we got the Rotten Tomatoes game, and the news all coming your way in a second. First, I'll tell you about Pure Talk USA. AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, you with one of these guys? Sure you are. Pure Talk USA uses the exact same network as they do. Same towers, same coverage, literally half the cost. I'm a customer. I kept my phone. You get to keep your phone. They send you a SIM card and get the same service I had before at half the price. Unlimited talk and text and 2 gigs of data, just $20 a month. The average person saves over $400 a year. Why not save a bunch of money? No retail store. So you go like, why? How can they do this? Well, they don't have stores. They don't have billion-dollar campaigns. They just got me talking over here. You only pay for the data you use. Their customer service is based in the U.S. Their CEO is a veteran as well. They understand what it means to serve. Got unlimited talk, unlimited text, plus 2 gigs of data. All you need to do is grab your mobile phone and dial #250 and say keyword Adam Carolla. That's #250. Say keyword Adam Carolla, and you'll get to save. You'll save up to 50% on your first month. Pure Talk USA. Sports are starting to come back. Podcast One. Sportsnet has all the action covered. Tons of different sports podcasts, something for everyone. Rich Eisen Show, Steve Austin Show, The Deegans with Metal Militia star Brian Deegan, plus many more. Tune into all the great podcasts with Podcast One, Sportsnet.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Aaron Brockovich. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Dave Damashek's back for good sports. Plus a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game, and now, he talked so long with Kirstie Alley yesterday, he's now a Scientologist. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. A mandate, you get it on, man. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian!
You suck.
Oh. I had a thought for any young people that want to screw around with old people and have a laugh about
you
it.
Tell.
Listen up.
I had so last week, I was sitting around my house at, Friday, it was like 8 at night, and I got the call from Lynette and Natalia, oh, we're up the street, neighbors kind of having their, it's not really a block party, it's kind of a cul-de-sac, have a few drinks out on the lawn with a folding table party, but the kids
That's today's block party.
Yeah.
A cul-de-sac get-together.
Kids are having a good time, you know, come on by. So me and Sonny went on by, and the parents...
Sack party.
Yeah,
a sack party.
Sack party. So we were having a having some drinks and sitting out there, and it's funny because if you get old enough people to sit around and start talking about stuff, eventually, and if they're guys, they'll start drinking. Like eventually, they start going, yeah, but I played a little AAA ball back in the day, or I was a standout defensive back in my high school back in the whatever, and then start talking sports, and then people get a little buzz, and then at some point. See, the kids aren't drinking, and they don't really have anything to do except for kind of physical stuff. So at some point, one of the kids will bust out something. In this case, it was a pogo stick. And what happens is the kids bust it out, and the kids are 14 and very sober. You know what I mean? So they bust out the pogo stick, and they'll just be bouncing along in front of the garage on the driveway. And you're 12 feet away talking about how good you were in high school, right? And then at some point, one of the buzzed adults will go, yeah, let me give that a shot. And they'll grab the pogo stick, and you already know where this is going. Because the pogo stick is like the non-motorized version of the ATV or the quad or the whatever. They look pretty innocuous. Like, let me give that a shot. You end up on your ass in the driveway, just like you do with the ATV. You get on the thing, put a beer between your legs, you got your flip-flops on, and next thing you know, you're in a drainage ditch with Ozzy Osbourne.
You go full Simon Cowell.
Right. So you go, but the pogo stick looks so innocuous. You know what I mean? So then the kid, and by the way, the kid's nailing it, right? He's been on it for 5 minutes, not missed
a
beat. So then at some point, one of the adults, now again, this has to work through the prism of a buzz. You know what I mean? At some point, one of the dads gets up and goes, let me give that a shot. Just eat shit out in the driveway. Like what happens is you get two good ones in, and then the third one you get a little out of whack,
a little sideways,
and slips out from under you.
You have to abandon ship at that point. That's the one where you kick it out and let it go. But your pride says, "I can salvage this." It's a plane you need to jump out of, but you think you can nurse it home. You know what I mean? You needed to bail out. And so when you're in the air and you get a little cattywampus, bail. Mm-hmm. You'll land on your feet. But if you try to hit the landing and correct it, then go further toward Mecca.
You got a blue ankle.
The dad hit the driveway, like made contact with rolled on the driveway.
Yeah.
Then the mom, again, this only works in the context of a buzz. You know what I mean? Then the mom says, let me give it a shot. And she's got road rash. She's on there. Now, the great thing is no matter what happens, everyone's got so much pride that they pop up and they're like,
I'm good.
You'll be doing that move the next day when you're stepping out of the shower and you see this huge black and blue whatever on your right hip when you catch a glimpse of yourself in the mirror. But then I was sitting there and they're like, give it a shot, Adam. And I was like, there's one thing you can say about me and alcohol, which is I'm one of the few people who realizes I'm drunk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I will go. I shouldn't do this. I know what this is. Like, everyone else.
You're the one.
The booze is the enabler. Like, the booze is what makes them think they can do this stuff. My stuff is like, I'm perfectly aware of the fact that I've been sitting here drinking for the last 3 hours. Like, I got a buzz and this ain't going to work out.
Like the Little League coach or the Babe Ruth League coach used to tell you, play within yourself. It's like, I know my limits. I'm not going to try and do things I can't do.
But after the third person said, give it a try, I went up and did it anyway. Sure. Now, my unicycle riding will even out my buzz. So I was able to pull it off. But even I gave like 8 good bounces and then I hopped off. I was like,
yeah, between the unicycle and the jump rope, you should be at least adept. I would, minus the booze.
You play catch adept. On a medicine on a balance ball,
right? And that will bring me down to a regular person being sober, I guess is what it is, because the balance makes up for the buzz, but also you have to kind of make sure where you are in the buzz spectrum. You know what I mean? But either way. I did like 8 good bounces, and then I hopped off because I'm like, I don't need to do 25 bounces. I'll do 8, and then I'll hop off. But I thought to myself, if you don't like your parents or you don't like your parents' friends, and you're young and you're listening, and they're having their pool party or their whatever their thing is, let them get emulsified a little bit. Let them get a few beers in their gullet. Let them get a few cocktails in them. And then bust out that. Now, don't bust it out and present it to them.
No, that's
the whole thing. Bust it out.
Act like you're having fun.
You have fun with it. And at some point, inevitably, one of the buzzed adults will stand up in their flip-flops and their board shorts and go, hey, let me give that. They all bounced on one when they were a kid and were pretty good at it. So they sort of think, I can just go over and that's. So, again, get the. If you don't like your parents and their friends, get that pogo stick, have it in the garage, and bust it out. And I guarantee you'll see some old guys' asses hit the pavement. Yes.
You know what's a good version of this if you have a pool and not a pogo stick is the back flip or front flip into the pool. Mm-hmm. If you're the kid, do that 10 or 12 times, and then everyone did it as a kid. Then right. The adult comes waddling over, drunk on booze, like, oh, let me show you how it's done. And then next thing you know, back flop or belly flop.
And I don't think they make these anymore. Brian's probably going to be the only one who knows what I'm talking about. If you don't have a pogo stick, dust off your pogo ball.
Oh, yeah, the bouncy
pogo ball.
Pogo ball
is what they call it.
Oh, that they have big. A – wait, is that the one you sat on with the handle?
It's like a little, like, hard rubber ball with, like, a Saturn.
With, like, a flange around it.
And you balance yourself on that and – while holding the ball in place, squeezing your feet and jumping up and down. That was
We had people had a hoppity hop, I think they call it, which was that was a yoga ball with a kettlebell handle on it that you would hang on to and scooch around. This novelty of scooching around was something we'd do when
we were kids. You sat on it, right?
Yeah.
You sat on it. It's weird, you know, transportation, like. If you knew a kid that had an electric car that you could sit in and go around, and like that was a big ticket item, my kids in general, like I remember very clearly when I was sitting in this shop, must have been 10 years ago, I had a bunch of go-karts and mini bikes and stuff like that in the back. And I remember when Jimmy's son, Kevin, who it's even longer than 10 years ago, because I've had this place like 15 years. Anyway, he was like 11, and he was just walking to the back of the shop, and he literally just stepped over the go-kart and kept walking. And I was like, oh, my God, if I was 11 and there's a go-kart pack in the back of a shop, I would have had 2,000 questions about it and wanted been begging people to fire it up. And I realized all that stuff, again, the driving, the riding, the go-kart and stuff like that, it just doesn't. I don't know. Maybe it's video games. Like I don't know. Kids don't feel as.
That's a very specific slice of today's kids, Kevin Kimmel and like a Sonny Corolla. Mm. Like these are kids who have access to things that.
Yes.
I'll just say most kids don't have access to.
You're right. They're definitely true. But and we're looking at the hoppity hop from back
new
in
and
the
improved.
Day. So I had Max Pat up. From the show The Munsters, Marilyn, the blonde, I think her last name was Price or something like that. I don't know. I think I met her son and the Munsters.
Pat Priest.
Yeah. Right. So she was a starlet, kind of, you know, blonde starlet from back in the day.
Like Ellie Clampett looking.
Yeah. And she sent me an autographed picture of her because she was in a movie called what was it called? The transplant?
The two-headed transplant.
Right. So we already
what
had
was that era and two heads.
We had a Rosie Grier movie with the two-headed, which was this movie was 71. The Rosie Grier one was 72. This is like our two volcano movies coming in, like 88 and 89 or 92, 96 and 97 or whatever it was. But I mean, it's like two bad transplant head monster movies, and. I looked at the trailer for this bad boy. Now, a lot of it is visual, so I won't bore everyone. But in the first 20 seconds, it was such a – we had such a bizarre taboo around sexuality. Like when I was – there was a lot of rape themes in the 60s and the 70s. One of the most popular magazines I would always see on the newsstand – at like the 7-Eleven was like true crime magazine, but it wasn't true crime, you know, guy with red hair laying dead on the floor. It was always the stiletto in between the bra. It always where the turnbuckle,
front
where the
clasp.
where the two cups met.
Yep, the turnbuckle.
Where there was always a stiletto in there, and the chick was like and her blouse was always torn open.
Right.
It was. Lots of threats of rape, like she didn't want this, but he was doing it anyway. Like that was our kind of sexuality in the
sexual violence.
Yeah, in the like it was like for me, I would have been like, look, if I can see titties, I'll see titties. You can put the knife away. You know, it's like no, it's better with the knife. It's better if we force the titties. And it's like, why not just show the titties? No, this is better.
Willing,
See, later on, we kind of got into the sort of Porky's phase or the Animal House phase where it's like, hey, here's just titty for titty's sake. Here's just boobs. You can enjoy your boobs.
What are we supposed to do with all these knives?
And that's a good point because I think they went from that real rapey vibe to the early 80s. Like when you talk about Porky's and Revenge of the Nerds and that stuff, it's all voyeuristic. She doesn't know you're watching, but so she's just going to do it.
We went from rapey to voyeuristic, which is
Animal House.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction, I guess. We're heading toward consensual sex, God willing.
You have to stop through Peeping Town.
That's right. But I'll play the first 20 seconds of this just to hear the trailer.
And I should let everybody know that it's actually called The Incredible Two-Headed Transplant.
Oh, good.
There you go.
A massive monster menaces the world. Threatening the most intimate terror a woman ever felt.
All right, hold on. Threatening the most intimate terror a woman has ever felt.
That's creepier than saying rape.
It really is.
Yeah.
The most intimate terror. I want to hear that one more time, Max.
It's like being turned inside out.
It's a blonde chick. It's the gal who sent me the autographed picture in her underpants with her blouse torn open.
That's good.
And back then, when you sold a hot chick a blouse, I'd be like, you know what? We don't sell our blouses with buttons. And they'd be like, why not? It's just going to get torn open.
Yeah.
Some dude's just going to tear it open.
It's a waste of material. It's going to end up on the ground anyway.
Right. So, sorry. Go ahead.
Most intimate terror.
You got to go back a little. Come on. Get a little head there, Max Spada.
Threatening the most intimate terror a woman ever felt. Because of an experimenter with life.
It's got a bunch of animals that they've made lay next to each other.
Oh, this is Dr. Moreau-esque.
Yeah, the incredible two-headed transplant.
You? I'm your brother. You and I are now one, dummy.
Oh, sex, rape. Rape and sex.
Get this gurney out of the way.
They never, they're carrying her off to be raped. But Bruce Dern is in this movie, by the way.
Why?
Big names.
These movies are always weird because it's like, all right, you've successfully transplanted your brother's head onto your shoulders. Why do you have superhuman strength?
Mm-hmm. Like, super horny strength.
Super horny strength. Like, why are you so much stronger than everyone? I
wonder if there is a line of exposition, like now he has the strength of two men. Don't lie. I wouldn't be shocked.
Bruce Dern is in this movie, and I was looking at the credits. I think Casey Kasem is in this movie as well. I have no idea what Casey Kasem is doing in this movie. But anyway, there's now two-headed transplant movies that came out in calendar year apart. All right, let's see. Brian had something to say, a philosophical statement about health.
Yeah, I had an interesting thought. You asked me before the show, you're like, how you feeling? And I thought, well, funny you should mention that, because I started my medication, my new round, 25% less dosage 2 days ago. So three pills instead of four, God willing, you know, I won't suffer the same debilitating side effects I had for the last 2 months. And I was thinking, it was a weird thought. I wonder what your guys' sort of philosophical take is on this. I was thinking, so I start Sunday morning. So Saturday evening, I'm sitting there with Christy, and I'm just thinking to myself, I feel great. I felt legitimately great. I had energy. Everything stopped hurting. I was like, this is the best I'm going to feel until the end of the year. Like today, right now, is probably the best I'm going to feel for the rest of 2020 because I'm scheduled to finish my medication in like early mid-December. And it was just a weird mind fuck, I guess. I can't put my mind around it other than like, yeah, I wish I would have taken advantage of this more. I mean, I feel like I did, you know, went to the beach and do all this stuff. But like the next 4 months are going to be some version lesser than I felt, you know, Saturday night. It was just a weird, I don't know, how do you guys reconcile, you know, it's going to be a rough road for the next few months?
I think you're sort of ahead of the game in the acceptance department, you know, even knowing it at the time. How often do people know that at the time, that the moment they're in is the best they're going to be for a while? Nobody. Everybody looks back at those moments with regret. So that's the fact that you're aware of it in live time is really a special thing, I think.
Do we know that taking the dosage and bringing it down 25% will make you feel 25% less shitty than you felt on the four pills, or might it have a greater effect?
Say it again, Gina.
Wasn't that the point?
The idea is it would have a greater effect, Adam, because let's say the toxicity, I'm making a line in my eyes.
Yes.
Let's say the toxicity level's here and that fourth pill put me here. You know what I mean? That if you bring that down by 25%, it puts me here. I'm putting my hand now below my eyes. Maybe it has the same efficiency, the same effectiveness, but not a toxic effect in terms of side effects. So the hope, the dream is that I will not suffer the same debilitating toxic side effects that I had for 2 months while still getting the efficiency of the actual medicine.
Right. So you might feel better than 25% less shitty, right?
That's the hope and that's the idea. It was only struck me that, wow, this could be the best I feel for the next, till the end of the year.
Well, anybody who gets a little older and didn't appreciate how they felt when they were 25 physically, like how
bouncing around on a pogo stick.
Yeah, how easy everything was when you were 25, or what your body would tolerate without feeling sore or weird, or whatever. I think there's kind of a longer form version of this, which is try to enjoy everyone who's healthy and everyone who can. Even if you don't feel like you'd like to feel, you can get up, put your feet on the ground, get up and walk to the kitchen. You don't, your bathtub doesn't have a door on it, like all that.
You don't have to wear socks and slippers all day, every day, just because your feet hurt so much.
Right. So
you can walk around.
Yeah. It's really hard to do that. Unfortunately, I think the key to life is that appreciation in the moment, and everyone takes it for granted. And then when they get an illness, I think they're in a weird way, maybe the blessing of a situation like you, Brian, is a forced appreciation for when you feel good and things you get to do. And whereas everyone else is just, It's a status quo. It's their default setting. I feel good. So what? Now I'm pissed because this omelet's cold.
No, you're right. We went to the beach on Saturday, and I was just so happy to be able to walk on the beach like without any help. I was legit happy about it. And then my heroic moment was like telling Christy, like, hey, hand me the umbrella. I'll put that in the sand because I could do it. I couldn't do it, 2 weeks ago.
Well, and it sounds cliche, and I would never say it to somebody who's grieving or who's struggling, because you don't say things like this because it's obnoxious. But in those moments, you think, man, it could always be worse. It's that toggle switch of like, yes, everything that is around you sucks. Everything feels bad, but it could be worse. I know this is a one-to-one comparison, Brian, but we took the little guy to Big Bear over the weekend and for his birthday, and nice. It was phenomenal. He got to be in a lake for the first time. He got to see mountains. It was amazing. Coming down the mountain should have been about 20 minutes. It took 2.5 hours to get down because there was an accident up ahead. 2.5 hours with a kid squirming in the back and everyone has to pee. And finally, when we were at our wit's end, I said, you know what? Thank God we're in a modern car. We're not afraid of anything overheating. It's 114. We're not afraid of being stuck on the side of the road. We're comfortable. We got music on. We'll be okay. It could always be worse.
Well, how many times you've been pissed off that you're stuck in traffic because they got the jaws of life out trying to get the person out of the car that's 200 yards in front of you. And it's like, yeah, that person's got real problems.
Yeah. Who'd you rather be?
You're listening to the Yacht Rock in an air-conditioned vessel.
That's exactly right.
All right, so we got the Rotten Tomatoes game to play in this first part two. Do you have a theme, Dawson?
Yeah, it's COVID part two. A new list of actors who came down with the virus recently and on the otherwise.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Dawson names are flicks. And the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus 5.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
So back in March, We dedicated a round of the Rotten Tomatoes game to famous people who contracted COVID-19. Well, it's been 5 months since then, and even though everyone on our original list has recovered, you just know, you never know who will be next. So on that very positive note, let's use this week's Rotten Tomatoes game to honor the latest group of celebrities that have fallen onto the couch, that is. We begin with a celebrity.
This theme keeps giving. We can do this for a long time.
Yeah. Unfortunately, forever.
We'll begin with a celebrity who was recently on this very podcast talking about his coronavirus experience, Bryan Cranston. But many years before he contracted the virus, he appeared in a film that Adam and the Porcelain Punisher saw together in theaters.
That's right.
About a lovable, misunderstood monster from 2014, Godzilla.
We're on the road. Were we in Minneapolis on the road?
Yes, we were. The Mall of America was for your President Me book tour.
Did we go out that night and like hang with some chicks at the bar and have too many drinks and you got sick or something?
If my wife is listening, no, but yes, that did happen.
Well, they kept sending over shots or something at whatever bar was. Yeah, you don't want to disgrace them. All right. This is there's something that's nice about travel in that you're allowed to eat bad food and you're allowed to watch bad movies. You can't do that when you're at home, when you're on your home turf, let's say post-COVID, you're not really allowed to eat McDonald's or eat junk, you know, fast food, whatever. But when you're traveling, you get to do what you want. And I find myself stuck in cities sometimes with nothing to do until a show that night or whatever. And we'd always go out and soak in the bad. So Cranston was in this. This is the beginning scene where his wife died, I think. It's always great. They take a movie that's not that great, but when a guy's a really good actor, man.
Well, I remember specifically being so frustrated when I saw this because Cranston is all over the trailer. Like, he's all over the trailer. And if you notice on the top right of the poster, it's and Bryan Cranston. He has a very small role in this movie, and that was a real bait and switch.
So the movie is not great. It's okay. I
hated this movie.
I think it's got some environmental theme that's the undercurrent of like don't fuck with nature kind of thing, which is good for a couple of points. All right. Nobody loved this movie, but it was certainly serviceable. And I'm going to say 58%.
Yeah, I went a little higher. I'm taking a chance here. I think this movie got decent reviews, even though it's garbage.
Damn.
I said six. Well, now I'm close to you. 67.
You said you hate it. It's like shit.
I hate it. I hate this fucking movie.
Adam, you've learned by now. Ignore that shit. I certainly do. So the only thing I know about this movie is the one year we went to Comic-Con, it was the Godzilla interactive experience, and that's all I have to go on. It was a barely fresh experience. I gave it a 61.
Godzilla is certified fresh at 75%.
75.
Now I know. Now I remember why I was incensed. This movie sucks.
And the people at 66. See, I had to listen to myself. I think this movie got a couple of environmental graft-on points.
It also got what we talk about sometimes was nerd points. Like, all the nerds were so happy to see Godzilla back. And it's like, well, how about a good movie?
All right.
All right, Lena Dunham recently tweeted about how she became sick back in March. She's mostly famous for her TV work, but back in 2012, she appeared briefly in Judd Apatow's film about what happens when you hit the big 4-0. Technically, it's a sequel to Knocked Up. Leslie Mann and Paul Rudd reprised their roles in 2012's This Is 40.
Never saw this.
It's one of the few Judd Apatow movies I have not seen.
It's a good movie that it's not in Judd's top five or three or whatever, but it's a solid movie. Like, it's thoughtful. It's kind of a little less, you know, raunchy comedy and a little more introspective or something. But it's a good movie, and I think it was sort of needlessly panned. I don't think the critics liked it very much. I saw like a sneak preview of it or just a rented theater house to watch it, whatever, and it was good. Also, it also featured Graham Parker, so
true.
You know I liked it, but I don't think the critics liked it, And I think it was one of these things where he was being judged against himself and you know, and the 40-year-old virgin and that kind of stuff. So for that reason, I think it's I'm going back to rotten at 58.
Ooh.
Going again.
Yeah. I thought I was playing it safe at 71. Again, I have not seen it.
Going back to my roots, too, I said 61 for Godzilla, 60 for This Is 40.
This Is 40 is rotten.
Damn it.
At 52%.
Oh, wow.
The people had it at 50. Yeah, it's a good, it's worth a watch. It's Judd Apatow. It's all Paul Rudd and those guys. And it's good. It's not his top movie, but it's certainly watchable.
Well, that's a huge compliment to Judd Apatow. If it's decent, but it's nowhere near the best, then that just speaks to his catalog of work.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. We got a game on now.
All right. Mel Gibson. You hear the name, now it's all bad news headlines. But the man was a goddamn legend back in the 80s and 90s. Case in point.
It's a great filmmaker.
A film that took home 5 Academy Awards, including Best Director and Best Picture, to quote William Wallace, "Coronavirus may take our lives, but it'll never take our freedom!" Oh, wait a minute. From 1995, Braveheart.
Never saw it.
Whoa. Oh, really? This is... Sonny would love this fucking movie.
Yeah, it's epic.
Yeah, see it.
I don't think this is a spoiler at this point, but I'll just say the last few minutes are grotesque. Tough to watch. I don't think you would like the last few minutes.
It's pretty brutal, the battle scenes, but it's also got some humor in it. Like it's you know, Mel Gibson. It's silly at times.
Well, Mel was fine with the critics at this point, and everyone loved this film, and it has to be high. But it's very violent. But is it into the, you know, this is sort of before everyone was woke and all that kind of stuff. So there's no baggage. There's no Mel baggage here. There was no
thought pieces, think pieces about why do we have to see another sweeping 3-hour movie about a white guy?
Right. There wasn't any of that. So, but do we make it into the 90s here? Or are we into the 80s? And I'm just going to settle on 90 even.
I went bold, 94. This was a huge, huge, huge movie.
I think I may have gone low, but I said 91.
Braveheart is certified fresh.
Yes!
At 78%.
Oh,
wow. Yes. I am surprised.
And that's the people crazy. Have it at 85. I wonder if some of these came in after Mel's hot tub dust up.
Antics.
Or something.
It's only 81 reviews.
May have... A handful of these come in later and driven the score down a little, or just was it 78%?
It may have been looked at as a little lightweight, I guess, by certain critics because, you know, it's a modern-ish retelling of this period piece, but good movie.
All right, well, we got a game on here, people.
Now, earlier this summer, Madonna tested positive for coronavirus antibodies, suggesting she had the virus several weeks earlier while wrapping up her tour in Paris. But don't cry for her. She's been all over the world and spent a lot of time in Argentina filming her role as the iconic Eva Perón in the 1996 movie musical Evita.
Gina?
She may have won the Golden Globe for Best Actress. She was certainly nominated.
Thank you, Brian.
Gina, was
it good?
Just
saying.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. How was it?
I mean, I don't mean to be the book was better, but like the musical, like if you see Patti LuPone, you know, doing clips from Evita on YouTube, it'll blow your mind. Did this blow my mind? It did not, but it's a great musical.
I'll always remember this as a movie that an earthquake happened while I was in the theater. Only time it's ever happened.
Oh, wow.
Oh, this starred Antonio Banderas as well?
He was like the de facto narrator or something, right?
Yeah.
Well, I remember watching... You guys remember in the movie, the documentary, Truth or Dare?
Oh, yeah.
And remember that was in, I don't know, what was that, 91 or something like that, 92, somewhere in there. And there was that whole storyline about her being at a party and like Antonio Banderas being in there and she lusted after him, but he was married. Wasn't that Antonio Banderas?
I don't remember.
Antonio
I just remember
Banderas.
Her saying that Sean Penn was the one who got away. That's all I remember.
He is in Truth or Dare.
He's in Truth or Dare. So she, a few years earlier was like, oh, who is that guy? I wish he was. And then I think she met his wife. Like, he was at the thing with his wife, and she was all bummed out that she was there with the wife. So there was definitely some banging in a trailer on the set of this movie. That's goddamn and right.
We should verify this, but I think the director, Alan Parker, just died. Didn't he just die like a week ago or something?
Oh, yeah.
2 weeks ago?
Well, I don't want to look at my phone. It'll look like I'm cheating. But yeah. I think that did come up.
All right. I'm going to say I haven't seen it. I think that maybe they liked her performance, but they didn't really like the movie that much. But it's a strong woman and a lead and a beloved character, beloved human. So I have no idea, and I'm just going to say 73%.
Damn it. We're right there with each other. 71, playing it safe.
78.
Evita is fresh.
Yes!
That's 63.
Oh, mm.
That
wow, this
right.
is a close game.
Yeah, it's not that good of a movie.
People have it at 68. Here we go.
And would you believe it? Speak of the devil, Evita co-star Antonio Banderas has also recently come forward to share the news that
really?
He tested positive for coronavirus.
I just did a soliloquy on Antonio Banderas, and now that's our next movie guy?
Wow.
That's weird.
Antonio Banderas has worked with director Robert Rodriguez in several different films, including this one, that surprisingly spawned three sequels and a TV series. Taking a break from all the ultra-violence, 2001's Spy Kids.
Oh, I thought we were going to Desperado.
Me too. I wrote down Desperado. Spy Kids was on heavy rotation in this house for a while with the kid.
2001.
I've actually never seen this.
This is the first one. They did a few Spy Kids.
Oh, yeah. Spy Kids 3D. Yeah,
there's
this is our last one.
Game.
Oh, boy. This is tough because sometimes these movies, these kids' movies, like, it was nice. Give it a 78. And then sometimes a 39. So I have no damn idea here. I think this movie was considered a good kids' movie. And I guess sometimes if it's a good kids' movie, I don't know who's winning this game. I think we're all pretty knotted up. I think we're a few points off of one another. And as a matter of fact, I don't actually know what Gina's score is because I don't pay attention to her score normally. Just a force of reflex. I've almost focused on.
Smart.
Yeah, I'm always focused
on. I don't think they actually keep track.
But it feels like we're all about the same here. So I'm now this could be a, it's a lightweight movie, but sometimes lightweight, fluffy kids movies, they're 80% just because it worked, you know, good. Hey, I recommend it to a 12-year-old. I have no idea, and for that reason, I'm going 64.
Well, this is where the game gets decided because I think I'm playing from behind, so I YOLO'd it and went 91.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I split the difference. I've seen it. It's great. It spawned a bunch of, spinoffs. But I feel like anymore, unless you're Disney or Pixar, you're not cracking 80. So I said 78.
Well, probably due to a groundbreaking and dynamic performance of one Cheech Marin, Spy Kids is certified fresh.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
At 93%.
Oh, big time.
No.
Oh.
What? Do people have it at 46?
Oh, my
YOLO,
God.
YOLO, man.
What
YOLO,
the?
Man.
Hold on.
YOLO, man.
Hold on. How can it be more than twice of what the people have on a kids movie?
I had in the back of my head this was like a well-reviewed movie, but I've never seen it. I can't say it's good or bad.
I was going to watch Braveheart this weekend, but I'm looking at Spy Kids now.
Spy Kids.
Is there a kids movie where the goddamn critics have it at 93 and it's under 50% with the audience? That's a weird...
Maybe like some foreign, animated film or something.
Yeah.
But this is not that.
This is very weird.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Count them up, Dawson!
God damn.
Gina Grad, congratulations. You made the podium with a score of 65.
All right.
Adam Carolla holding the lead for a long, long time in the game and then threw it out the window on the last movie. Your score, 74. And that's good for third place. Bald Brian, is he inside or outside of that goalpost?
Feeling good.
His 91 got him close, but wasn't enough. Congratulations to our first place winner, Bald Brian, 53.
YOLO, man.
Gotta go bald.
at the end, end of round four, going into the last one, it was 45 me, 51 Brian, and 50 Gina. So we were all
I was in last place.
Knotted up. But when you said 90-something for Spy Kids, I was like, he just took himself right out of this. And also, I was thinking, we're only 4, 5, 6 points off of each other. Why go into the 90s?
I should have played it safer for sure. But
Jesus Christ. Well, that's why I have to play the game. Here we go.
I got one thing to say.
YOLO, man.
Jesus Christ. You know how we do it. All right. Let me hit Aaron's over here. Shopping. No fun when you're worried about your credit. Aaron's makes it quick and easy to shop for furniture, electronics, and appliances. Before you go to the store, head to apply.aarons.com to discover your leasing power. You'll immediately know how much you're approved to lease to own. So they will let you know, and then you can go in with that kind of confidence. Apply from your phone or your computer, then visit your participating Aaron's store to shop for top brands like Samsung and GE and Ashley and HP as well. Free delivery and setup for all these lease agreements. Affordable, flexible payments. Pay little by little until you own it. Aaron's. Easy, beautiful, affordable. It is Aaron's. Right, Dawson?
Approval is valid only at assigned store location. Approval is not guaranteed. Some restrictions apply.
All right, let's take a break. And we'll come back and do the news right after this.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
Hey, Corolla fans, Mike Dawson here. I got some good news and some bad news. Bad news first, we're sold out of this month's Adam's Monthly Nut. Well, it's bad news for you, not necessarily for us. Good news is you'll still be able to get all the incredible products from the fine folks at Ready Patch and the Bug Bite Thing after this month's Adam's Monthly Nut. Head to ReadyPatch.com, that's R-E-D-E-E, to make sure you don't look like the Kool-Aid Man after a night out. And head to BugBiteThing.com to suck out the poison from the flying demons that are mosquitoes. A big thank you to both Ready Patch and the Bug Bite Thing for participating in this month's Nut. Stay tuned for next week's announcement of a brand new Adam's Monthly Nut.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Gina, hold on. This just in. Alan Parker died 2.5 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Breaking news.
So you can tell when a role hasn't been written specifically for someone if you can swap them out with another person and that person is a different gender. Comedian Tig Notaro is replacing Chris D'Elia in Zack Snyder's zombie movie Army of the Dead. This is according to Variety.com. News of the recasting comes after allegations that D'Elia sexually harassed underage girls, women 16 years old, they're saying, according to these reports, accused D'Elia of misconduct, including sending them inappropriate and explicit messages online. And in the wake of these allegations, he was dropped by CAA, his agent. D'Elia has denied the accusations, calling it all legal and consensual. Army of the Dead had had completed shooting already. Everything was in post-production before the pandemic hit in March. So the movie's going to undergo reshoots with green screens and CGI and other special effects to add Notaro to the production and take D'Elia out.
You know, one of probably the worst thing you can be accused of in today's current culture is being creepy. Like, you better to have an actual label of, like, arson, you know what I mean, than creepy. Like, I swear to God, if you were a celebrity in this town, like, if you asked most publicists and agents and representatives, would you rather your client be convicted of arson or convicted in the court of public opinion of being creepy, they'd be like, let me hear the arson story. What happened? Was he trying to collect insurance?
Any injuries?
Might be easier to spin.
Was this some business partner that screwed him? So he, like, because creepy is vague-ish and never goes away.
Like, you can't dodge
it's a
it.
Feeling.
And you can't, when you're creepy, you can't pay your debt to society. You're just creepy. You know, it's an evergreen. You know, I mean, if you do a thing where it's like, I killed a man, but I paid my debt, now I'm out. I mean, everyone, we kind of like that story.
Yeah, we can process it. Yeah.
Yeah. We go, oh, look at him. All right. He read the Bible and he learned how to do pipe fitting when he was in the joint. Now he's out.
If you leave California, you can even say that we owe them a debt of gratitude.
Right. If you live in LA. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but being creepy and being labeled as creepy is kind of a thing that doesn't really ever go away. You always think it, by the way. Like, if a guy, again, like if someone's convicted of a crime and then they serve their time and then they get out, we kind of like that story. It's like, he's turning his life around. You know, but creepy is the crime that keeps giving. It never goes away. You don't do time. It doesn't have a beginning or a middle or an end. It's just creepy.
Well, and to your point, this is exactly what happened to Kevin Spacey. What was the Getty movie called, Brian?
For All the Money in the World.
Yeah, that was Donald. Who took over?
It was Christopher Plummer.
Yeah, I always get them confused. Kevin Spacey shot the whole movie, and then allegations came out, and he was replaced by Christopher Plummer.
Yeah, there's trailers that still exist with Spacey in them.
And Spacey never really has been formally charged with anything. Like there was,
I don't think so.
There was the guy, and he was going to, he's like
the
waiter at the diner, but it turns out they found these texts where the mom and the girlfriend is like going to get money out of him or whatever. That got thrown out. Like, I don't know what even, like, this is the worst thing ever. You get accused of a bunch of stuff. You never really get your day in court, but you're still put out on Creepy Island with Chris D'Elia, and that's it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Forced to live out your days.
Yeah.
And do we ever, and also, here's the other thing they don't really tell you about, and it's secretly why we love sports. It made me think of Island, being out on an island. If you are a shutdown cornerback in the NFL, if you're just a guy who's just a shutdown corner where they can just put you out on that island with any receiver in the league and you can hold them to 3 receptions and 18 yards for that game, you know, there's always going to be a job for you on a team somewhere. You could get put out on Creepy Island for 10 minutes, but eventually you're coming back because a team is going to pick you up because you provide something that only 10 people on the planet can do, or maybe 6 people on the planet can do, or 3. You know, if you're a shutdown corner or whatever, your field goal kicker who's money from 55 yards every time, like, we will find you a job. If you're a baseball player who hits, you know, 385 in 41 home runs, we will find you a job. If you're Chris D'Elia, we'll get Tig Notaro to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, acting is one of those things where it's like, yeah, we'll get Plummer to do it. Like, there are some great actors, but even really good actors,
how many are irreplaceable?
Right.
Very few, if any.
Right.
Before this, I might have said Kevin Spacey.
Right. So, all you have to do, so then what happens is you go, well, I had an idea for this guy. You know, we're looking for a 40-year-old good-looking guy to play this part with some comedic chops. And they go, how about Chris D'Elia 5 years from now? And then you go, why even get into that? And then someone will go, you know, I think he's innocent. Like, I think he's paid his debt to society. And you go,
don't want that headache.
Yeah, but why do you want to go sell that to the studio?
Like, every interview at the junket, it's going to be about that.
There's not a 40-year-old white guy with some comedic chops that could do that role. And they're like, oh, yeah, just go get Joel McHale.
Let's get Adam Ray.
Yeah, get Adam Ray. So there you go. That's unfortunately now the way it can go. Mm-hmm. So
Good back luck. To Gina's original point, I love the movie Alien, and about getting recast genderlessly or from gender switch to gender switch. I only just learned recently that the movie Alien, the reason everyone's named Ripley and Kane and Dallas and whatever is they were written without genders. There could have been a man in the lead. It ended up being Sigourney Weaver, but I don't think it was intended to be a woman. That's what I heard the screenwriter describe.
It's even more sort of interesting and progressive to not, instead of saying, this is going to be a woman, it doesn't matter. It's going to be a badass character. We'll deal with the rest later.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And in that movie, and then in Alien, the Aliens. They had that tough Hispanic woman who was always doing chin-ups and carrying the shotgun. And then you had Bill Paxton was the whimpering. We're going to die. We're
all game over, man. Game over. What do you do now?
He doesn't get enough credit for that role and for Chet from Weird Science. I love him.
He is Chet.
I love him in both those roles.
If my room's okay, I won't kill him. I'll just hurt him real bad.
He was great.
He was in Michael Biehn's shadow in Aliens. Give him a break.
Yes, that's true. All right, let me hit True Niagen here. I've been taking True Niagen for quite some time now. God, I keep saying months, but we're coming on about half a year here. You get older, your body's experiencing near 50% decline in NAD, which negatively affects the health of your cells. And if those cells get screwed up in your body, well, then the whole thing goes up. Dr.
Chet, please, that's not funny.
Chet. Drew's been taking True Niagen for quite some time as well. Lifestyle stressors like intense exercise, lack of sleep, stress on the immune system, overeating, lack of sleep. They all deplete NAD because the cells expend more energy to function. Backed by Nobel Prize winning scientists and clinical research, global regulatory approval, it is True Niagen. Support cellular energy and defense. Visit TRUNIAGEN.com. I took mine about 2 hours ago as part of my morning routine. Use the code Adam and get $20 off any 3 month plus supply. It's good stuff. It's True Niagen. All right, Gina, what else?
You're stewed, butt wad.
Oh, I love that.
Hi, Grammy. Hi, Grandpa.
I love that. I love when he opened the cabinet and saw us two catatonic. He was so funny, good. That whole thing.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
Served in a
greasy
ashtray.
Pork sandwich.
Yeah, and I liked it when he was yelling at his brother, and then he got a look at Kelly LeBrock or whoever that was, and he just looked at her and he goes, I want to butter your muffin.
Lisa.
Yeah. Sorry.
So much to my horror and shock and awe, the hashtag boycott Dolly has been popping up on Twitter.
Oh, dear.
Since Dolly gave an interview to Entertainment Tonight Canada and answered a question about Black Lives Matter, about the movement. Now, this is crazy because most people know she is extremely apolitical in her public life. She it's not even that she sidesteps stuff. She will just say, like, I do not answer that. I don't talk politics. But she answered a question about the movement and kind of wove her way through it, but it ended up rubbing some people the wrong way. Here's the clip.
I think that everybody needs to express themselves however they feel they have to. I'm not out, I'm not out here to tell you what to do. I don't want you to tell me what to do. But I just do what my heart tells me to do. I ask God to direct me and lead me. And if I've got His direction, I don't have to worry too much about anything else. But I do understand people having to make themselves known and felt and seen. And of course, Black Lives Matter. Do we think our little white asses are the only ones that matter? No. Everybody matters.
Very
incendiary.
So
I can see why everyone wants to boycott her.
This is her way of sort of weaving through a political conversation, and it really seemed to ignite something on Twitter. People saying, boycott Dolly. I'm not buying her Christmas album. There seems to be someone who is the ringleader who a lot of people are supporting. And it's just very confusing.
The good news is I was confused. Like a few months ago, I was confused. Like, do these people really believe that X, Y, and Z, like that person's a racist? Like everyone's a racist, or are they just talking shit? Like, do they believe it? And I now realize they're just talking shit. Mm-hmm. Nobody believes it anymore. I mean,
one's genuinely upset at Dolly.
Nobody. Clinton. There's nobody. There's nobody who started that, you know, cancel Dolly hashtag that's legitimately upset, legitimately has a beef, is legitimately offended. There just isn't. The problem is they're going to weave that into every interview, and there's only one correct answer, which is I'm 100% down with Black Lives Matter. You cannot say, well, yeah, but I think all lives matter or something. You can't do any of that anymore. It's just boom. Black Lives Matter.
Just to clarify, the ones that are ordering for her boycott are the other side.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sorry, if that wasn't clear. So let me. This is the great equalizer, because this, I don't know who this is. It's a woman named Deanna Lorraine. She is, I guess, a correspondent for Newsmax and has a book called Taking Back America. She put up a tweet that said, Dolly Parton just said she supports Black Lives Matter. My heart is literally broken.
Literally.
Guess it's time to, literally. She had to go to the emergency room. Guess it's time to boycott Dolly. And that's sort of where the dominoes started.
Oh,
falling.
This is that group. Jesus
Christ. Adam, do you think it was the more liberal side that was attacking her?
I thought that's who attacks when you do the Black Lives Matter, when you don't give a concise Black Lives Matter answer.
Well, and that makes sense. Normally, because of what we've seen, this is one of those exceptions that you just realize cancel culture is it becoming the great equalizer? It's crazy.
Well, what I was basing it on is kind of your Drew Breesy kind of thing, where he goes, "Hey, I'm down with the cause, but I stand for the flag," and then he got chewed up and spat out.
Right. Like, I think if she had said something like, sure, Black Lives Matter, all lives matter, that would have upset the left. But the
she
fact
did
that
say
she.
That.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
I thought I misunderstood.
She said that was part of her quote.
It's also blurry and confusing now that I can't even tell what side is upset by the commentary.
Absolutely. She said, of course, Black Lives Matter. Why do we think our little white asses are better? All lives matter. We all matter.
Yeah,
Candidate platitude. That was just, she didn't take a strong stand.
No, that's what she does. She will say, I don't talk politics. But in another clip where they try to like give her a gotcha question because she had a restaurant at Dollywood called the Dixieland Stampede, which is like, what's the thing in Buena Park with the jousting?
Medieval times.
Yes, medieval times. It's basically that, but like Civil War. Mm-hmm. And but it's that same type of vibe. And people said Dixie is offensive and racist. And she had a quote saying, I'm a businesswoman. Yeah. If I'm being told it's offensive now, we get rid of it. It's a business decision. And she's not afraid to say that.
Well, I guess the new world order is just unfortunately, this is like silencing a lot of people. People just don't want to do interviews anymore.
Well, like you said, you didn't even know what side was mad at her. How do you get more middle of the road than that?
No, I was just playing that odds that normally it's the Black Lives Matter side that gets angry when you start watering down, if you start watering their message down. And so I was just playing the odds, but forget it. It's not done. You know, it's not worth talking anymore.
Yeah. Who was it? It might have been Paul F. Tompkins. Somebody, and you know, it's a joke, you know, whatever. But it said something like on Twitter, imagine being so racist that you literally can't enjoy Dolly Parton anymore.
Yeah. I get it. Like, you know, if you're out there and it's your job to comment, you know, give commentary on social things or political things or whatever things. If you're Ben Shapiro, fine. Talk in all the mics you want. If you're Dolly Parton or whoever, actor or actress anymore, if I was their publicist, I'd just go, don't do anything. Just don't go on that show. Like, don't talk into a microphone.
Well, and talk about, you know, fringe audience. The people that go to see her shows are very, very conservative and drag queens.
And
she knows that. She goes, it's people from her hometown of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and it's all the drag queens that show up looking like her.
She's got to walk a tightrope.
Yes, exactly. And she's the most aware of that.
I don't know if we'll ever see this in our lifetimes or now, you know, nowadays, but it would get trending if some celebrity was asked a question like that and their answer was, their answer was basically, look, I have thoughts, but frankly, it's too hot either way. So I'd rather not even express them. I'm risking my career.
And I think we're getting to that point, which is, I don't know. Like, I literally talk to guys who run companies who do, like, media stuff, and they're just like, I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, the young folks have taken over, and I'm scared to talk. Like, everyone is just literally freaked out to talk. It's not... it's funny. Like, you know, I've always said I've been this broken record that said, like, not all progress is good. Like, not all evolution is good. Like, we've sort of, we're evolving into this place where everyone has a voice. Really? Where everyone has a voice? Right. Or maybe no one has a voice. Like, or some people have some voices. Like, this is not an evolution. This is not progress. This thing where we're going to cancel everybody. It's also kind of...
the anti-progress getting
it
rid
is
of everybody.
And it's it's too easy to do. Well, I mean, with the internet. Yeah,
I agree. I think I made the point here on this very show that the curse of social media is that we've given everyone a back in the day, you know, you had to be James Baldwin to have a platform, like, you know, eloquent and have some thoughts and a point. Nowadays everyone's got a platform. It might be small, but it's, you know, your platform goes to the world.
Well, it's funny. It's
you haven't earned it. You know what I'm saying?
It's a two part thing. It's A, everyone has a platform, and B, businesses are scared shitless. So the second five of these people, these nudniks, get together with their non platform and create a little bit of a platform, and then they want to boycott, fill in the blank. The business will immediately fold. They'll immediately fire this person or pull advertising off that. They'll go, look, I don't care if it's eight people all working out of one trailer home. I'm out. That's how business. So it's kind of both parts. You kind of need Hollywood or a business or whomever to kind of go, forget it. I'm not working with that guy anymore, or I'm going to fire him, or they're going to pull their advertising. And then you take these relatively few people and you give them this huge stick now. Now they do mean something. They are weaponized. Yes, Brent.
I was going to say the businesses will do all of that, and they'll devote a sizable amount of resources to, like, replying or fighting, but not even fighting back, just reacting. I know this because Christie's business, her company, has a crisis division that handles, you know, when there's a, you know, CEO has gotten a scandal, or you know, someone gets sick off the food. God knows why. It could be anything, but it's a crisis. Or they are thriving because everyone is essentially going. Every business is essentially going through a crisis right now.
The only reason the rest of us know what a crisis manager is because that's the one that ratted out the Papa John's guy.
That's right. It was them.
All right, let's do one more. It was not them. Sheena Grant.
Let's do this because it's breaking as we record this. So two arrests have been made in a 2002 murder of Run-DMC's Jam Master Jay, according to ABC News. And this just came through my phone before we started. Carl Jordan and Ronald Washington have been charged with the murder of the pioneering rapper born Jason Mizell while engaged in cocaine trafficking. This is according to an indictment unsealed in the Eastern District of New York that also charged the two with drug offenses. Washington, one of the guys, Ronald Washington, is currently imprisoned on a prior robbery case. Jordan will be arraigned today. Mizell was murdered in Hollis, Queens, October 30th, 2002, shot at point blank range in the head with a .40 caliber handgun. He was 37. Jesus. And this is 18 years old.
So he was just executed.
Yeah.
I kind of remember the story. It's funny, the two guys that are being accused of it have the world's whitest first names and the world's blackest last names. So my ethnic wheel is spinning in my head now.
We need to recalibrate you.
Yes.
Carl and Ronald,
but then the last names are good, right?
Jordan and Washington.
A couple of Beach Boys.
Yeah. Well, until you get to the last name. So I don't remember. Was this a big story when it happened? I guess it kind of was. And
the fact that it was a murder, you know,
was a pioneer of a certain type of, you know, popular music.
It was a deal that he was involved with the drug trafficking.
This is literally all I can find right now. This is just hot off the presses. I'm sure we're going to find out way more. But it says while engaged in cocaine trafficking.
I wonder why it took so long.
He might have been caught up in some stuff.
Somebody must have said something. I mean, why was there nothing for so long?
Or I mean, I am talking on my ass. This might be a Mark Garagos question, but if Washington's currently already in prison, maybe confessing gave him a shorter sentence. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's always I like I said, all I grew up watching cop shows, and they just wrap the whole thing up in a 60-minute episode.
Not an 18-year episode.
Well, when you watch real crime shows, it's always the same story. It's like, we had nothing, the case went cold, and there was nothing. And then 4 years later, my phone rang, and there was somebody who said they knew everything. So yep. I talked to them, and now we've solved the case. But it's like, it's never you. In every show I ever saw, it was all the footwork and the gumshoeing and all the diligence. Like, yeah, I'm not going to rest until I take this case down. Oh, they rest all the time. The one thing I've realized is the detectives rest and the cops on the street have plenty of time for backup. Those were the two things. I thought it was the opposite. I thought it was never going to rest. That also would argue with their commanding officer when they wanted to take the case away. I'm giving this case to Kowalski. God damn it.
Over my dead body.
That's my collar.
That's right. Between stakeouts and cold cases, these fucking guys ever work?
I know. All right.
The New York Times says prosecutors claim that the two had executed Mr. Mizell after he sought to exclude them from a multi-kilogram, multi-state narcotics transaction in July of 2002, just months before the murder. The court papers say that Mr. Mizell had received about 10 kilos of cocaine on consignment from a supplier in Maryland.
Can't you make enough money just being in Run DMC? Like,
yeah, that's mailbox money.
There's a lot of these stories in sports, like, oh, the guy was a starting cornerback for the Rams, but he was caught with 70 pounds of weed in the trunk. It's like, you have a good job. There's good jobs. Was it Nate Newton? There was a Dallas Cowboys offensive lineman, I think
it was,
who did the same thing. It's like, you guys are all stars. You're making good money. That should be enough. You're in Run DMC. What do we have this side business here? All right.
Yeah, so those two guys are supposed to be his partners, and supposedly he cut them out after an argument.
That's not nice.
That's not nice. All right, let me hit Madison Reed Mister. Madison Reed Mister. It's a gray blending natural color for your hair and your beard. Getting a little longer in the tooth. You get a little gray around the temples, or maybe it's around the beard. You don't have that shoe polish look. You want a little more pepper and a little less salt. How about that? Madison Reed Mister makes it easy to find the color. You can match it on their website. Lynette loves this stuff, too. Obviously, Madison Reed, they have for the ladies, but they perfected it also for the men as well. You get the little kit, put the gloves on, apply the color gel, just sort of run it through your hands and run it through your hair, and then you do the activator, just a dollop on your hands, kind of rub it together. I've done it. It's super easy, and then just rinse it off. Let it sit for 10 minutes and rinse it off. It is Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use code Corolla for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Corolla.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right. Erin Brockovich is coming in here in the flesh. She's going to be in here in a second. Of course, you know her from, Julia Roberts won the Academy Award for portraying her.
Fantastic.
And the movie was named after her. Anyway, she's got lots of good cases, lots of good stuff coming on. I'll do a one-on-one with her, and I'll bid adieu to Bald and Gina, and we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Erin Brockovich right after this.